A court of claims judge has rejected President Donald Trump's request to stop vote tabulation in Michigan. Now, the count is largely done, but the results have not been officially recorded and certified by the Secretary of State. The Trump campaign's assertion was that GOP poll challengers were not granted, quoting here, meaningful access to observe polling places. Here to explain what all that means and what the judge said is Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau Chief for Michigan's Public Radio Network. Hi, Rick.
Hi there. And I can tell you what the judge said. I'm not sure about being able to explain what it all means.
We'll do our best. So the Trump campaign did file this lawsuit to stop the ballot counting. What exactly was the campaign alleging?
Well, I think you explained it, is that they said that partisan challengers were not given access to polling places, and specifically the TCF Center in Detroit, and that they weren't able to get in close enough to do the things that poll challengers are supposed to do at these absentee ballot counting boards. And the judge basically called BS on all of it, that there were opportunities for people to do their jobs, and the fact that the Republican Party had not recruited enough poll challengers wasn't the responsibility of the state. And I think most significantly, Judge Cynthia Stevens, in her ruling from the bench, said essentially, in not so many words, I don't know what you want me to do, that the voting is done, the election is over, and you haven't presented me with a real workable remedy. And that's kind of where things stand, that she's writing up an order that should be issued by the end of today that would allow the Trump campaign to appeal this to a higher court if it chooses to do so. It needs that written ruling. Mm. And we will see what happens next.
Rick, I understand that the sort of key phrase in the complaint is meaningful access. Did the complaint or did the attorneys for the Trump campaign elaborate at all on what they meant by that phrase?
That question came up, and it's a murky phrase. It doesn't have any specific definition, but it seemed to me that the arguments were very abstruse at times, but it seems to me that it was a kind of a you know it when you see it sort of thing, and you know when you don't see it. One of the things that the Trump campaign also asked for was there are videos of absentee ballot drop-off locations, and they wanted the chance to examine those videos, but they wanted it in real time as opposed to after the fact when you could look at it and, you know, make some challenges based on that. They said that they wanted real-time access to those videos, and the judge was kind of in that same mode on, yeah, but what does that do for you right now? That's what it all came down to.
Rick, we saw reports that the claim from the campaign didn't exactly align with the claim in the affidavit that they were providing as evidence. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I think, put succinctly, that the Trump campaign did not argue when the judge basically said in legal terms that this thing is kind of a sloppy mess, but I'm going to let this go forward so that we can get this settled.
Do you have any sense now of whether the Trump campaign will appeal this to a higher court?
No, although in fairness, I'm still in the process of putting together my work and I haven't reached out to the Trump campaign, although the last time I did on this issue, I never heard back. But it could, and it does seem, you know, since in many respects this is a moot question, that the voting is over, the counting is pretty much over, and the remedy that the Trump campaign says that it wants is no longer available. So the question is, why do they continue to argue this case? And it does seem, to me at least, to be that they're trying to run out the clock, try to do whatever they can to slow things down and maybe see if somewhere along the way that they do come up with something that would somehow change the trajectory on this race, now that it seems pretty certain that Michigan's 16 electoral votes are going to Joe Biden.
Right. I have a question about that. But before we wrap this up, this suit was filed in the Court of Claims for Michigan. What would be the next avenue of appeal if the Trump campaign chooses that?
It would be to take the case to the Michigan Court of Appeals. They could ask for a bypass to take it straight to the Michigan Supreme Court or go through the process. But, you know, it would basically be those two courts to take it to the Michigan Supreme Court. One of the things that they did not try to do was to take this to the federal courts, which might be another option at some point, although I don't know that they would find that there's an active controversy. But the reason they went with the state courts is because they thought that they'd be able to get a decision faster.
So as you mentioned, Joe Biden has unofficially been declared the winner of Michigan's 16 electoral votes. So in a normal year, those electors would have to be decided how?
Well, the state parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, put together a slate. And when you actually go in and vote for one of the presidential candidates, you're actually voting for that slate of electors that on elector meeting day will show up and cast their ballot for the candidate of their party. And that's the final step in the process.
There's been some confusion about this, mostly at the hands of national political reporters who do not live in Michigan, who are now in the position of reporting on the horse race. Can you ever remember this process being played out any other way? Have the parties always decided the electors and who they're going to vote for?
Oh, yeah, that's the law that they have to be. And then there is a day where the chamber of the Michigan Senate is turned over to the Electoral College that the lieutenant governor presides over it, even though this year it's a Democrat, and they officially cast their ballots. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's a big ceremony. And, you know, the electors are honored to do it.
Rick, while I've got you on the line, there's been so much going on. I've got to catch up with you about the United States Senate race. Democratic incumbent Gary Peters appears to have bested Republican John James, although some news organizations haven't quite called it yet. The Associated Press did call the decision. Can you remind us which areas of Michigan appear to have made the difference in the vote for Gary Peters?
Really, the same as in the presidential election. Obviously, elections in Michigan are won and lost in Southeast Michigan, but it was a close vote. It was a very close vote. And so I would say in every area of the state, because you had to turn out enough people to make up that margin in every area of the state, that if he had lost, or, you know, maybe when the Republicans are picking over the John James loss, I mean, they're going to look at where could we have turned out just a few more voters in Traverse City, in the Upper Peninsula, in order to make that difference. Because, you know, marginal races mean that every vote from every part of the state matters.
John James, as of the time we're having this conversation, has not yet conceded to Gary Peters. Is there a path to victory for him at this point?
No, yeah. Just no.
You know, this is a candidate who got a lot of attention and raised an enormous amount of money for the race, and it's his second statewide loss. Do you think we'll see him again?
I do, just because he is considered by a lot of people in the Republican Party as sort of representative of the future of the Republican Party, that he's a veteran, he's a business person, that he's African-American, that he kind of represents, and he's conservative, and he kind of represents what a lot of Republican leaders think the party must become if it's going to be a viable political entity over the long term.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see him. Maybe not in an elected role, maybe as state party chair, maybe as a prominent spokesman. Or, I mean, I've certainly seen this happen with candidates before, that he'll think that he had this moment to give it a try, and maybe it's time to move on to something else.
We have less than a minute left here, Rick. Turnout in Michigan this week exceeded the high water mark of 2008 with Barack Obama's first campaign. Were you surprised by that?
Yes, The Obama year was such a phenomenon with, you know, people dancing in the streets in Detroit that it seemed, at least at a visceral level, pretty difficult to top that. But, you know, it's just a truth that Donald Trump is a turnout machine. And that is true for Republicans and conservatives who like his bombastic style. And it is also true for people who are just very, very put off by the loudness and the controversy that he brings to the scene.
Rick Pluta covers politics for Michigan's public radio stations. Thanks, Rick.
Oh, always a pleasure, April.